Have you ever had someone refer to something going on in the community who asked you, what's going on there? What's the story with all that? The right answer lies with the people directly involved in it, the people who know. Why not hear their story? So welcome to What's the Story, Pekin? I'm Gary Gillis, your host, and I hope you enjoy this Pekin podcast.
Well, when you're driving south in Pekin and you want to get a shortcut either to 29 or to 14th Street, most people would select Hannah Drive. And if you travel down Hannah Drive, you will see a building that says Illinois Central College South. But if you're like me, you look and you wonder, well, it's part of ICC, but what do they teach there? And I would venture that many in the community don't know either. So because What's the Story goes to the source when looking for the answer to that question, I have the source when it comes to ICC South. And I want to welcome Sheila Quirk-Bailey, who I guess, Sheila, you are in charge of the facility, but welcome, and tell us a little bit about your responsibility there.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm Sheila Quirk-Bailey. I am the president of Illinois Central College.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right. I thought you were associated with just that, but now it's the whole
kit and caboodle.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So we really have What's the Story here today. So tell us, though, a little bit about what happens at that facility. I've read a little bit from nurse assistant to some other things, but I know what you see on the internet can be outdated.
Absolutely. So let me start with what was in the building before COVID, because then the world changed. Mm-hmm. So we've always done dual credit in the morning, some specialty programs for adults in the afternoon, and then gen ed transfer programs for local students, recent high school graduates, in the evening. After COVID, what we find is 40% of our student base is now online. So those evening gen ed classes aren't held face-to-face there, because we're finding that those folks from this general area, right, the south side of our district, are going more online. So we've doubled down on CTE programs and dual credit. So we run a dual credit program in welding, that when the students complete that in high school, they go right out to industry and do very well. They're highly sought after. And while Pekin High School itself has a welding program, a lot of the other high school districts to the south of our district do not. Mm-hmm. So those students come there, and we run that program early in the morning, and then they go back to high school.
Okay.
We do the same thing with CNA. So students can complete their CNA on that campus while they're still in high school, the clinicals, the whole kit and caboodle right there in Pekin. And what's exciting about that is we've built some pathway programs. So students can, if they're a poverty, right, we have grants that will pay for, they can do the high school experience here. They can then go get the LPN, fully paid for off grants. We have one from the Edmonds coal plant that's closing pays for that. And then we have another program called the Workforce Equity Initiative. So between those two grants, we can cover those students moving up and then getting their LPN. Then we get them jobs with the hospital systems, and then the hospital systems will pay for them to go back to their own nursing schools to then complete the four-year degree.
Sure.
So we can create pathways then to get someone all the way through. So that's a very exciting program for us. Mm. We currently have construction in the building, but that won't be happening much longer. We are opening for the fall semester over the summer the Workforce Sustainability Center on the East Peoria campus. And so that program will be moving to East Peoria, so construction will no longer be local. The reason we're moving them is because of requests we have had from both the Peoria Fire Service, fire services on the south end of the district, as well as the private companies who run EMT. We're bringing both, expanding, so they'll be offered on the Peoria campuses and the Pekin campus. We are expanding with some federal funds we received from the EDA. We're bringing paramedic out to paramedic and EMT, took me a second, out to the Pekin campus. Okay. So those will be the primary programming we do in that building.
Okay. I remember when the building was bought.
Yes.
But just for review and for the public, What led to the decision to have a campus site here in Pekin? You've kind of indicated a little bit with the kind of the affiliation you have with the high school, but why here?
So this is an interesting story, and the why has changed multiple times since we've owned the building. So the long before I was here, the original plan was to that be more a corporate training center. We're right there on Hanna with all of those businesses across the street. It didn't make sense for people who were trying to upskill or put people straight into industry to have them go from Pekin, right, all the way over to, right, East Peoria, and then back. Why didn't we make that closer? Okay. That never really materialized, and I don't know why I wasn't here then, but that never really materialized. So then what that facility became is, like I said, a multi-use, almost specialized by time of the day. So again, the early college students can come in early and then get back to high school. We can do boot camp. So we have that workforce equity initiative where individuals of poverty go to school more boot camp style. And so as opposed to everything taking 16 weeks, it's a much smaller, and then they go right into industry. Mm-hmm. So we do that. And then in the evenings, like I said, that was that general transfer programming courses. So think psych, SOS, English, math. And the idea there was that individuals from Pekin who wanted to pursue a degree at ICC, at least they can get their gen eds out in the evenings closer, mm-hmm. right? And then once they get into the specialty classes, obviously the building's not big enough to replicate the whole college, sure. right? So then they've got to go back and forth, but save them some drive-in time in those early, with those early gen eds. So that was the model. Now, we're post-COVID, and we're realizing that a lot of the students with longer commutes choose just to do some of those gen eds online, so we don't need that. So then we focused on, well, what are the immediate workforce issues that we could help deal with in the Peoria community? And as we had those conversations, right, fire service, EMT, and paramedic rose to the top. So that's why we're moving construction out. Not that construction couldn't have stayed here, but I can't fit those other three programs in sure. if I keep. So you'll see a lot of construction starting this summer. We, with that federal grant, we are putting up a big Morton building, which will house the fire truck and which will house the ambulances. And you will also see some new facade going up. You will see new signage going up. So it's ICC Pekin as opposed to ICC South, because we'd like to just name it after the city it's in, because I think it takes a lot of right confusion out. Sure. Right? No one should say, where is ICC Pekin? Right? Just sort of it's built in.
Yeah.
So that's where we're headed. So we're putting that's about a $3 million grant. So we're reinvesting in that building and that location, and we're expanding the parking lots, and we're going to respond to local industry, and we're really excited about sure. what we can bring to people.
Well, that is exciting news. That's great. On a broader level, speaking of ICC, just in general, and really junior colleges, showing my age here, and it's going on almost 50 years since I graduated from college. I find that hard to believe. But, you know, junior colleges were basically to kind of get the gen ed stuff out of the mm-hmm. way, and then you'd go on to a four-year university. But it appears that junior colleges now are standalone educational institutions that don't aren't preparatory per se, and that many people are especially in the controversial age we live in, of the cost of college and student loans, et cetera, mm-hmm. there's more and more emphasis of, you know, learn a marketable skill or talent, a trade, mm-hmm. And you don't need to go to a university for that. And it seems like it's part of an evolutionary process. What mm-hmm. are you seeing, not only at ICC, but in junior colleges in general, that speak to that?
So, well, the first thing we've done is no longer go by junior colleges, we're community colleges.
Okay.
So we're there
yeah.
to serve that community's gotcha. Need. The other thing, what we like to talk about is not everyone needs a four-year degree. Mm-hmm. But everyone needs a credential past high school.
Gotcha.
So let's talk about those general audiences we serve. For the first 2 years of college, for people who want to be an accountant, for people who want to be an engineer, you still need those four-year degrees. Our students outperform students in their junior year wherever they transfer, hands down.
Really?
You're not going to get a better college mm-hmm. transfer prep program than Illinois Central College. We have phenomenal faculty, we have great facilities, and our students do very, very well. The other thing is, a lot of reason people don't want to go for that four-year degree is they don't want to take on that debt. Sure. Well, you don't have to take on that debt. If you do your first 2 years at ICC, right, you can cut that debt load in half. So we're still a very smart choice if that's what people are looking to do. So that's still a big part of our market. Then you move into what else are we responsible for, which is also workforce development, mm-hmm. right? Jobs, I mean, my dad didn't finish high school, worked at a Chevy plant his whole life, right? Took care of we had five kids, right? He could take care of things, earn a family sustaining wage. He didn't have any degree, he didn't have a high school diploma, right? Those days are gone. Right, you want to work in manufacturing and you better be a certified welder and you better know how to run that CNC machine. There aren't a lot of jobs you can walk on and do and perform duties and be hired, right, at that $15, $16 an hour. But if you're trying to get into a family sustaining area, you better have a certification, right? So we are stepping up our game. We've always had wonderful programs, but we focused primarily on those 2 year degrees. And what mm-hmm. happens with workforce is sometimes people can't wait 2 years right. before they can get that job, mm-hmm. right? So we have stackable credentials. You can credential by credential and then come back and finish that degree. A lot of our employers, the vast majority in this region, we're so lucky, have tuition reimbursement. So mm-hmm. let us help you get that first level degree, right? And then you just continue to stair step and at each point, that's a salary increase, that's another step on the rung of the ladder. And once you get that first credential, right, the company's paying for it.
Right.
Right. So that's part of the community we are taking care of. Then we have continuing education. Mm-hmm. So that could be anything from studying our culinary programs for fun because you want to cook better. It could be our camps for kids. It could be our choral programs or any of our music programs, which we do so well. We still have traditional athletics and student activities. So the whole idea behind a community college is I'm evaluated based on, or our strategy is built around, what does this community need? What are the demographics of this community? And what can we do to bring people together, move the community, individuals and the community forward? So a whole different, you're right, because when we started, we were the first 2 years of a right. transfer institute, exactly. right? That was it. That is still a very strong part of our mission and still a very good, you don't have to start off your life $60,000 in debt. There mm-hmm. is an alternative,
right?
Right? So that's a very strong part of our mission, but we also have taken on that continuing education. So even for professionals, so if you are a doctor, if you are an accountant, right, you have to get in so many, if you're in anything in healthcare, you've got to get in so many CEUs a year, mm-hmm. right? And we have connections with those. We have services, we teach our own, plus we have services where we can arrange that for folks so you can keep your Illinois licensure and you can get that done at ICC.
Sure. I wonder if anybody's quantified the savings. I mean, you can basically do an analysis of full four-year tuition versus getting your background at ICC and moving on anywhere else. Plus the fact that, especially if you're training with a particular skill, you're going to be earning an income, at least a couple years before some of your friends are graduating with a lot of debt
right.
and getting their first paycheck. So I would think there's going to be some compelling data. And I heard the other day in an interview, so this is really kind of hot off the presses, but somebody was opining about artificial intelligence
mm-hmm.
and how that will impact the workplace. And
oh,
that
yeah.
some of these skills that require, advanced degrees, et cetera, a lot of that will perhaps be taken over or displaced by the advancement in artificial intelligence. But the argument being, artificial intelligence is not going to weld a joint for you. It is not going to know plumbing and the types of hands-on things where you need someone who is there to not only do it, but has the experience and intuitive ability to make the adjustments that
right.
AI probably can't or never will. So I think that would speak very well to what is happening at community colleges and more to its future.
It absolutely does. And it's interesting with AI, that whole concept, you still have to know. So say you're using AI as an engineer, mm-hmm. right, to design, right, the bridge, right? You're a civil engineer, that's your project. You still have to know enough about civil engineering to double check that. You're not just going to let a computer run a program and then let's go build a bridge, right? So you have to know that. And then you have to have the critical thinking skills to know when to apply that. So in some ways, the skill set required by the human, you may not need as many humans in that role, but the skill set is actually a little more sophisticated than it used to be, because when you do something from the ground up, you know it inside out, whereas you're reviewing somebody else's work, i.e. the AI program, right? There could be something in there that you need to, right, that you need to tweak or you need to pay attention to, that maybe you've got to do your homework then. You've got to do that search. Yep. And then just because it's produced, right, just because it can be done that way, is that the right application? Do you have the budget for that? So how does the rest of that play in? So then you're talking about those higher level skills. Yeah, the world's really going to change. And you have robots that can weld, right, on the assembly line, right? But then again, who does that quality verification? Right. Then who does? So now it becomes more, maybe you're not holding the welder, but you're doing the statistical process control through a CNC guidance system that's running the robots to make sure that that all happens.
Good point.
They talk about factories in the dark, but at some point there's got to be a quality control system, right, that maintains a lot of that.
Sure. Well, it seems like, and maybe this is like a 30,000 foot view, but it seems like the traditional four-year college or university is, I hate to use the term, on the decline, but is kind of struggling with almost an identity crisis. You know, how do they still add value? It used to be, I mean, when I was a kid, it was you went to college, period, you know, no discussion. But now I think there's a question of value, or value added for individuals, job placement opportunities, et cetera. And it seems like community colleges are moving in, because you just basically have a theme that speaks to, you know, get the training that you need for the jobs that are available. And I think, it, especially going forward, and the issue of student debt, I've always wondered, why isn't there ever a cost-benefit analysis for some young person that says, I'm going to go to this university, and not even think about, you know, you're going to go out of state college because you want to, because it's a pretty campus. Well, you're going to pay more for that. What's the long-term outcome of that decision?
Actually, there are quite a few places who present that cost-benefit that cost-benefit analysis. So look at Georgetown Center for Education in the Workforce. I think they do the best jobs. So, I mean, I'm a speech communications major, you know, out of Bradley. I like to say in the last century, so I don't have to age myself, but in the early 80s, right? So back in the day, it didn't matter that I majored in speech communication. My first job out of Bradley was at Arthur Anderson, right? A big accounting firm, right? In their training. So as long as you had that four-year degree was used as the determinant of whether or not you were a person who could be educated and you could be a person who could apply themselves, right? So that's what that benchmark was used for. You didn't have to, right, necessarily major in what they were looking for, right? It was a much broader category. You had the baccalaureate degree, you're good to go. You can just start applying for what you want to do. I would never in a million years, as a speech communication major graduating now, they wouldn't even, the computer would scream me out. They wouldn't even consider me for the job they hired me for back in the 80s with that same degree. All the degrees are specialized, right? Companies are looking for very specific credentials and skill sets for every job, right? And there are degrees that have family sustaining plus market value, and there are degrees that have less value. So the way that's played out in our country is that everybody knows someone who has a four-year degree who's working at a job that doesn't require any degree, and then they say, see, those degrees don't necessarily pay off. Well, not every degree produces the same outcome. Back in the 80s, it did. You could be a theater major, and even if you didn't act for a living, right, you would find a job, and you would, a professional job, and you would, that doesn't work that way anymore, right? And I think what we've done as a country is we put all of that in the same bucket to say, see, that doesn't pay off. All the data shows that you'll make over $1 million more over a lifetime if you have a four-year degree versus not having it. And there are dozens and dozens of two-year degrees that if you have, you will get that same outcome, if not more, right? The students coming out of our diesel program are starting at 60 to 70. We had a student come back the other day who's been out 2 years. He's making over $100,000 a year. You know, the kid's 21, right? So it's not, we need to think about it differently, because we used to be able to think about it as any four-year, you pick whatever you want to study, right? Study your passion, pick whatever you want. You're going to do fine. That's not the way it works anymore. But that doesn't mean the educational system overall, right, isn't working. There's a lot more onus on the individual to make a good decision in terms of what will pay off for them and what won't.
Right.
Right. And I think what we're trying to do as a culture is we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That being said, in our region, ICC's district, right now only 40% of adults have a credential past high school. Right now, 65% of all jobs require a credential past high school. Mm-hmm. So we've got a huge gap. We've got an awful lot of people who could be retrained to fill those jobs, right? But we have a gap. That 65 number is moving to 70 within the next 3 years. It's only going to continue to go forward. So this belief in our country that maybe going to college doesn't pay off, well, I agree. There are majors that don't pay off as well as others. Mm-hmm. But if 70% of the jobs are going to require something, are going to require a credential, boy, you don't want to be on the other side of that. What's your life going to look like, right? Now, but let's talk about credentials. You can earn those in the military. You can earn those through companies, right? There are all kinds of industry credentials that are out there. We provide the vast majority of them, right? So you can go to community college and get that. So the world has changed, right? You've got to do something. So I just worry that that notion that it doesn't pay off and people don't need to go. You've never needed to go on for something to get a credential ever more now than ever before, right? Yeah. That's really important. The other thing that's happened, though, over the last 2 years, for the first time in the history of our nation, higher ed has not been the largest producer of credentials, right? So there's a whole industry growing up, right, that's taking over these micro-credentials and these industry certs, and people are learning, I don't necessarily have to have a four-year degree. I'm going to go get a credential. I'm not going to be an accountant, but I'm going to know how to read financial statements because I've got that, and I'm going to go learn how to do this skill and all of that, and then I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, I don't have a four-year degree, but I put this together, and that's the skill sets the companies look for, and now I'm a supervisor over technical skill.
There you go.
And I didn't have to take the 4 years,
so
right?
So you communicate that. I guess, preparatory work or what goes into becoming a success at area high schools to let kids know, you know, just here's the world before you and here's a way to approach it.
We're fighting that whole national, this is our belief. So when people say, well, you know, what can we do to help you? Dispel the belief that students don't have to do something past high school. Doesn't have to be a four-year degree, but you've got to do something, right? So we have dual credit. And we have pathways, and we have a product called Career Coach. You should go on the website and take a look at it. So you can enter any, you can go into it by career cluster, you can go into by any particular job, and it will tell you the credentials expected. It will tell you the environment you will work in. It will tell you the skill sets you need. It will tell you how many jobs are available in this area, 25 miles out, 50. It's statewide, you pick it. It will tell you the companies that are hiring and what they're currently hiring for, right? So you can take a look at all of that. So if you want to be an accountant, there's no way around it. You need a four-year degree,
right?
Here's the places you could get them. Here's the pathways. Come here. Here's what you could save, right? You come to us for 2 years and then go on to U of I, right? Here's what that's saving, right? So we figured we've got those pathways that we're working with high schools. But it really is changing the narrative because when I'm talking to my kids about college, I can't just assume what was true for me and the market at that time, because what you do is, right, you try to take care of your kids and let them, right, have an advantage of what you knew, right? But it's a really different market now than it was before.
So kids that come to you, you know, they're 18 years old, and they just really know they need to pursue something. But they don't know where their interests lie. Or they have interests in things where, you know, there's five jobs nationally in that or something to that effect.
Right.
So to give them a little bit of a reality check, but also understand perhaps their reluctance to continue to move on. They've gone through high school. They've done what's required. They have that diploma. And the question of what's next. And so you help them in that kind of academic search in a way?
Absolutely. So what we've done, the state of Illinois has from 7th grade through graduating high school, they have a set of competencies in terms of career awareness that they're working with all students on. So we've arranged all of our programs into those same career clusters, because students may not want to know what specifically what job they want to do, but starting in 7th grade, they'll start saying, but I don't want to work in manufacturing, that's too dirty, or I don't want to go into healthcare because I don't like the sight of blood, or I don't want to, right? So by the time they graduate high school, they've got it narrowed down to sort of like this group, this grouping, so it's either going to be business, or it's going to be supply chain logistics, or it's going to be nonprofit management, or it's going to be engineering. So we can work with students to say, okay, if that's what you're interested in, let's take a look at what those opportunities are and what are you interested in. This only requires a 2-year, this requires a 4-year, this you can get in with just a certificate, this I have apprenticeships available. Mm-hmm. So with our apprenticeships, the company will pay for, they put them on salary, right? They pay for all of their educational cost. And then if it was a 1-year program, they owe the company 1 year to stay with them for 1 year after they graduate. If it was a full degree, then they stay with them for 2 years. So our fastest growing apprenticeships are in IT. So we'll have Anderson Consulting come in and they'll say, okay, if you study and you get to this level in this programming language, right, and complete the first year, I'll pay for your second year while you work for me part-time. And then you've got to work for me for 18 months after you graduate. And those expenses are paid. Right? So the world's just changing so quickly. We've got all kinds of apprenticeships and earn and learns. And, you know, we're starting a new construction program. And we built that in partnership with both the union and the Contractors Association. So students can complete our 2-year degree and enter the union at year 3 if they want to enter the union later. Mm-hmm. Right? Or they could complete that degree and then go directly into the contracting and independent situation. They could finish that and then take another 6 months in entrepreneurship and hang out their own shingle, right, and start their own side business. So there's so many more options, but the problem with options is it gets more complex and more confusing.
Sure.
Right? It's not quite as, those decisions aren't quite as easy as when I made them a million years ago, right?
Wow. Well, it's comforting to know that things have evolved to that point. As you were sharing this, I was thinking back in my day, it was, again, you get your degree and you go to the part through the interview process at the university. You look at who they're coming in as a guest, and there was nothing in place to kind of identify where my interests would lie or my talents and skill set may lie. And I'm so thankful that we have that type of approach to it, a more holistic approach, as well as the partnership with not only area businesses, but perhaps Bradley, other universities, and of course the high school level. It's very encouraging. So I appreciate you coming in. On behalf of the area, I'm thankful you're here and the leadership that you bring. I think it's interesting that you had a completely different background. Mm-hmm. And rather than an educational administration degree or something to that effect, you basically have walked the walk. Personal development to find where your skills are best applied. So I'm thankful you did that. I'm glad you came in today and appreciate all that you do.
Well, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Sure. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's fun working here with my sound man, Mike Eaton. So I want to thank Mike for being here again. Thank the Pekin Library for providing our space here at the Passport Room. And I would encourage anybody who has any thoughts or ideas, future topics, individuals to be part of the What's the Story podcast, to just let us know by sending us an email at pekinpodcast@gmail.com. So thank you for joining us and have a great day.